Live from the CBS Bay Area studios, this is KPIX 5 News.
Breaking news right now on KPIX 5 and streaming on CBSN Bay Area, an 8.2 earthquake off the coast of Alaska, where tsunami warnings were just lifted.
The rules are changing quickly when it comes to masks, vaccines, and that Delta variant. We are live in San Mateo County, where one city has a new mandate this morning.
And how bad is the drought? We just got the official update minutes ago, and these dramatic new images show how much worse it's gotten in just a couple of months. Plus,
I'm in a lot of pain, you know.
Yeah, we are going to hear from the fan hit in the face by a foul ball at the Giants-Dodgers game. Ouch. Good morning. It is Thursday, July 29th. I'm Ann Makovic.
And I'm Lynn Keyes. Good morning. We begin with that breaking news out of Alaska. An 8.2 quake hit just after 11 last night near the Alaskan Peninsula. A tsunami warning was issued for portions of the state right after, but that warning has now been lifted. The USGS is reporting at least two strong aftershocks shaking the area, the biggest, a 6.2.
There's some new video this morning. Check out this long line of cars trying to evacuate the area when that tsunami warning was in effect. So far, no reports of any major damage. This quake is Alaska's strongest since 1964. A tsunami warning for Hawaii has luckily also been canceled.
And the National Weather Service says there is no tsunami threat for the West Coast.
That is the good news.
Yeah.
In the meantime, around here in the Bay Area, we are getting ready for a very hot Thursday in some spots. Getting a first check on our weather and traffic, beginning with meteorologist Darren Peck in for Mary this morning.
And just a quick perspective on where that earthquake was. An 8.2 is huge. And the reason why there are no reports of damage and even few reports of it being felt is because it was fairly unpopulated out there on the peninsula. That's 500 miles from Anchorage. So far enough away from the population center there. And of course, the most important aspect when we hear of an earthquake that large out in the Pacific, there is zero threat of any tsunami here in the Bay Area or anywhere on the West Coast. It took several hours for them to really get firm information on that, but we were all sleeping while they were trying to figure that out, and thankfully it's not a concern. Pretty start to the day, and temperatures are going to be hot again today. Let me just leave you with the forecast highs. If you're getting ready to step outside, we're sitting anywhere from the low 50s to the mid 60s right now, and we're going back into the upper 90s again for daytime highs today for many inland East Bay valleys. I'm going to show you specific highs for your part of the Bay Area coming up in the complete forecast in just a few minutes. Gianna, how's the drive look?
It is busy if you are getting ready to take 101 this morning along the peninsula. We've got a crash near Hillsdale or just before involving a couple of vehicles, and it is blocking at least that right lane. So CHP and tow crews are on scene. They will be running a traffic break to clear everything over to the shoulder, so that will slow traffic down just a little bit more than what you're seeing already. So down about 12 miles per hour in some spots. You can use 280 or El Camino as an alternate in the meantime until those lanes clear up there along 101. Already busy as well for that ride into the Altamont Pass, 39 minutes, 205 over towards 680. And Lynn?
Well, it is what all of us are wondering right now. Exactly how worried should we be about this Delta variant when it comes to guidance about masks? Things have been changing, it seems like, by the hour.
Yeah, so where do we stand this morning and what's next? Our Justin Andrews joins us live from San Mateo County, where one city has a new mandate this morning. Justin.
Goodness, it seems like we're hearing new guidelines almost daily. When to wear a mask, when not, when it's required, when it's not. Either way, if you come here to Foster City, though, you are required to wear a mask in any of the city facilities. We're talking buildings here. This is in line with the new guidelines set out by the California Department of Public Health, urging even the vaccinated to wear face coverings indoors. This is in hopes of protecting us from this Delta variant and also to slow its spread. San Mateo County also implemented a requirement earlier this week to wear face coverings indoors at all county facilities for employees and visitors. Foster City's masking requirement applies only to city-operated buildings and does not apply to businesses, other government agencies, or private employers. However, those other places are encouraged by Foster City health leaders to require face coverings. Some cities and some counties, they have mandates, others have recommendations. Either way, it's best that I tell you this morning, just keep that mask handy because you never know when you'll need it. We're live in Foster City this morning. I'm Justin Andrews, KPIX 5.
Yeah, those masks had such a brief reprieve. Yeah. Making it to the bottom of the purse. Now they're
back to the top.
All right, Justin, thanks for that. We'll check in with you in about a half an hour.
The pandemic we have now is a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
Happening today, President Biden is expected to announce all federal workers must be vaccinated or undergo regular COVID testing. The order, which includes contractors, would affect upwards of 10 million people.
New this morning, U.S. world champion pole vaulter Sam Kendricks is out of the Olympics, tested positive for COVID. The former Ole Miss star won bronze at the 2016 Rio Games, and his battle with world record holder Mondo Duplantis of Sweden was expected to have been one of the highlights of the athletics program, which begins tomorrow.
With the new school year fast approaching, this morning the San Jose Unified School District is now requiring all teachers, all staff to either be vaccinated or tested for COVID, and we're talking twice a week.
A mask mandate will also be placed in place inside and outside for everybody in K-12 schools. That is a step farther than the state guidelines. One UCSF doctor says those mandates can boost protection in schools against this Delta variant.
Kids under 12 have fewer receptors where the virus uses to enter the body, and called ACE2 receptors, for whatever reason we don't understand. And that's why it seemed that kids were always the protected ones during COVID.
According to Dr. Chin Hong, emergency use authorization for that Pfizer vaccine for kids aged 5 to 11 is not going to come until late September or early October. Moderna is looking at closer to early December.
I am kind of worried. It has been hard to watch everyone in my family get vaccinated before me.
Now, the FDA is asking Pfizer to double its study size because there's some concerns over reports of inflammation of the heart muscle in some kids.
A new lawsuit in a hit and run that killed the father of a young boy this morning. His family says they want justice. The crash happened on Park Boulevard near Greenwood Avenue in Oakland on Mother's Day. The Alameda County District's Attorney Office says the victim, Greg Turnage, was walking on Park Boulevard when a Lexus SUV drove up onto the sidewalk, hit him, then crashed into a parked car. After the crash, the suspect, 64-year-old Timothy Hamano, left the scene on foot, leaving his injured wife behind. Court documents show Hamano's wife then told police her husband was the driver and that he had been drinking throughout the day. Investigators say they were never able to determine Hamano's blood alcohol content because he left the scene.
He has robbed my 10-year-old son of his father. And he's robbed me of my partner. Timothy Hamano's actions have inflicted inconsolable heartbreak upon our family that we will never fully recover from.
The victim's family has filed a civil suit on behalf of his 10-year-old son. The suspect also faces charges of vehicular manslaughter and leaving the scene of an accident.
6:07 in this morning, VTA moving forward with getting light rail service back on track 2 months after the mass shooting at a rail yard. Starting next Monday, buses will run from the Paseo de San Antonio station up to the Bay Point station and over to the Milpitas Transit Center. Buses are going to stop at each light rail station along the way. Here are the details. Service will be going on between 5:30 in the morning and 8:30 p.m. on weekdays and from 7 to 7 on the weekends. It's free. Riders will not need to pay a fare, and the buses will run until light rail service is restored.
Happening today, a new mural is going up at California and Grant in San Francisco, and it's calling for justice for Visha Ratanapakti. The 84-year-old Thai immigrant died back in January after being violently shoved to the ground in an unprovoked attack in the Anza Vista neighborhood. This week, a city supervisor proposed naming a street there in his honor. Sonora Lane, which links O'Farrell with Terra Vista Avenue, would be renamed Visha Ratanapakti Way.
My pain will never go away. When I lost my father, and I have to stand up and I have to be strong.
Two men were later arrested and charged in the deadly attack. Since then, his family has called for harsher punishments for those who commit hate crimes.
Taking a live look at San Francisco, where a new surveillance effort is going to crack down on people trashing the streets. Public Works expected to mount devices on privately owned buildings in illegal dumping hotspots, places like the Bayview, and then cite drivers who toss out waste. New images of Lake Oroville in the Sierra shows just how much worse the drought has gotten in just a couple of months.
Yeah, take a look. The first photo is from 3 years ago. You can see the lake at decent levels. the vegetation around it flourishing. Well, the next image was taken in April of this year. The water nearly gone, lots of dry land out there. Now, this last photo shows what's left as of last week, almost no trace of the lake. Yes. And the latest drought monitor just updated shows most of the outer part of California under extreme drought conditions.
Meteorologist Darren Peck with when the temperatures are going to start going up here again in the Bay Area.
Well, I think the important thing when we talk about the drought monitor is to put it into context with how things have changed on a weekly basis. And for the last several weeks, the maps that we use to illustrate how things have changed haven't really changed a whole lot in general. It's been bad for about the last 6 weeks, and it hasn't adjusted much. That's the new drought monitor over there. You can see there's plenty of deep red on there that shows you we're in the exceptional category of drought. This is nothing new. But if we look at where we were last week, there are some subtle differences on here. Take a look at both maps side by side. And where do you notice the change? Not for the Bay Area, but for the rest of the Central Valley, down here through the watershed of the San Joaquin River. That's where now those areas have extended into exceptional. When it comes to the drought here at home, in the way that it impacts you on a most direct personal level, it's those reservoir levels, particularly in the off-system regions that rely on local reservoirs the most. Marin and Santa Clara, those are the communities that will pay attention to the most to those local reservoir levels, and we'll be reporting on those in great detail as well. For now, guys, back to you.